You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Guys, welcome back to Inside the War Room, presented by Sports Illustrated on the NFL Draft Bible Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by two guys, as always, Dante, Saray. How are you boys doing today?
Doing pretty good. We're back. Had a little snafu, but we're back now. We got some good stuff to talk about. Very exciting. The big trade happened this past couple of days, so we're going to break that down.
Yeah, this is like usually like the dead time in the NFL right now, right after the NFL draft and like OTAs. It's like you're not actually there, you're not watching anything, so there's not really much to talk about there. So this is usually like the dead time in the NFL from like June to July-ish. Once like training camp gets going, that's when the NFL buzz gets going. You start getting excited. But like Dante mentioned, we have a big trade to talk about, and that's doing with the Atlanta Falcons and the Tennessee Titans. And yes, it is what you think it is. Julio Jones is on the move to Tennessee. He's on the move for a second round pick. And now it's time to break this down because, you know, Atlanta Falcons had the fourth pick in the NFL draft this year, and they had a prime opportunity to take a quarterback with that fourth pick in this year's draft, and they didn't. They took Kyle Pitts. So let's break it down. I'm going to kick it off to Saray, first of all. What's your first initial thoughts of this trade?
We could run the Falcons better than the Falcons run the Falcons. I'm not really sure what the hell's going on.
We're off to a good start.
let's rewind back to when Mohamed Sanu got traded for a second. Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu, you tell me which receiver is better than whatever. If you were going to trade Julio Jones away, right, you couldn't sign your rookies, right? You could have restructured Grady Jarrett, right? You could have traded away Matt Ryan, got the contract off the books. There's other ways you could have gotten around planning for a future instead of trading a receiver who I think can still get to top five, top six, you know, his old self. Just injuries happen, man. He wasn't healthy last year, and it was time for a change, dude. But, like, what are you doing? I guess the league wasn't apparently high on Justin Fields, right? You know, it was reported that I've seen some guys talking about if Trey Lance or Zach Wilson was there, Atlanta would have went there. They like those guys over Fields, and it's whatever, man. We don't know how they grade quarterbacks. I mean, like you, Dante says, we don't know jack about what goes on in those front offices, man. Like, we just know what we believe and what we think is going on. But, like, it's redundant to me because you're clearly planning for your future. How much better are you going to be with Kyle Pitts and subtracting Julio Jones, right? So, like, now Kyle Pitts is automatically with your number two receiver. I'd like to think Ridley's still your number one guy. And Matt Ryan has what, 3 years left of how much football does he have left at this level, man?
Honestly, he 3 years might be a stretch, honestly.
Is he 37 years old? He's 37.
I mean, maybe one. I wouldn't be shocked if he has a declining year this year.
So he's 36 this year, and they can get out of his deal after 2022. But I like the dead cap in 2022 is 40 mil, man. Like, I don't know what Denver would have traded for him, right? You could have got this contract off the books. I know maybe the owner is like thinking maybe we move Julio before we move Matt Ryan. But like, without Julio, is there a Matt Ryan? Like, I think Julio can go somewhere and be great. And I'm not sure how great Matt would have been without Julio, man. I think he's a good quarterback, but like, I don't know, man. That's just my honest opinion. I think everything they've done was just really stupid. There's, for lack of a better word, like, Fields is staring you in the face. You're clearly planning for your future. You don't have your quarterback on your roster. Like you said, he's going to be 37 soon. He can't play football forever. He's not Tom Brady, right? Father Time has a way of working its course for different people. And Matt Ryan, again, wasn't horrible last year, but just from a rebuilding standpoint, you're clearly doing that. I don't understand the move. Like, if it was me, I would have drafted Fields. And if you were going to trade Julio, at least you could have sat him behind Matt Ryan. Now there's no quarterback future or, you know, plan, you know, as far as the future goes on your roster. And you can look at the 2022 quarterback class. It's extremely early, but it's a whole pile of meh, if you ask me right now. So, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, there's going to be that guy who makes a huge rise, like, you know, happens every draft cycle. We don't know who that kid is right now, right? I don't know, man. I think that, again, we could probably run the Falcons better than the Falcons run the Falcons. Like, I you could have, again, restructured Grady Jarrett, move Matt Ryan to another team. Denver would have came. There are a ton of teams who think they are a quarterback away who would have traded for Matt Ryan. But instead, you're trading away a Hall of Fame wide receiver who's – I don't know. Is he in his prime still, man? I think so, right? He may not be 27-year-old Julio, but I think he can still go get you 1,210 touchdowns next season, right? So especially with that offense, man. So I don't know. I think they should have drafted a quarterback, but maybe this is more, like I said, an indictment on the league. They just were not as high on Fields. And, you know, are you really a Kyle Pitts away from being a contender? Because they're not. So I think they win no more than 7 or 8 games next year, the way they're looking right now.
Yeah, I was going to say that you might not necessarily be high on Fields. Let's just go from the Falcons' perspective. You might not be necessarily high on Justin Fields, but the way they treated that fourth pick overall, it seemed like a luxury pick to me. It's like we're one piece away, like you mentioned. It's like we're going to get Kyle Pitts, and now we can compete for the division, playoffs, and you know whatnot. I mean, that's what it seemed like, but at the same time, it doesn't really make sense because we knew them taking Kyle Pitts – you know, with Julio Jones, that offense would probably be, you know, I would say top 15. It's one of the better NFL offenses in the league, 100%. So if, you know, adding Kyle Pitts and then with Julio Jones, but that defense was still so far away and that team in general is just so far away from, I think, competing for even a division or even a wild card spot at this point. So, you know, if I'm Atlanta, you take Justin Fields at pick 4. And if you're not high on Justin Fields, I mean, there was a lot of teams that we could have looked in this draft that would have desperately loved that fourth pick overall if they wanted to get a Justin Fields or, you know, whoever, maybe even a Kyle Pitts, like just a weapon in general. Like a team would have moved up from the fourth pick overall. But instead, Atlanta sits back and they draft a tight end with the fourth pick overall. And, you know, this is not a shot on Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is deserved of a top 5 pick. He's a very good player. I just don't love the value of the pick and the situation of the pick. If this was like, let's say San Francisco, for example, like, you know, we're all in that they need a quarterback, but I think it would make more sense for a team like San Francisco, who I think is a lot more closer than Atlanta. If they decide to take a weapon like a Kyle Pitts or Jamar Chase rather than the Atlanta Falcons, because they are actually legitimately, you can make an argument one piece away. Let's just like make an example. If they needed a weapon, the Atlanta Falcons are just nowhere near close to that. So I just think that this offseason just doesn't really make sense for what they want to do, because you get Kyle Pitts and subtracting Julio Jones. I mean, is that an upgrade or is it the same? Or are you like declining? Like, I don't know what it is. If anything, I think it's it's going to be a more of a decline than an upgrade with Kyle Pitts over Julio Jones. I mean, that's just, we'll see. But even if Kyle Pitts is the best tight end in the NFL, I just don't know how much of a help he is to winning product right away. So I don't know. It was a very weird offseason for Atlanta. And I mean, I'm all good for trading Julio Jones, but if you're going to do that, you know, either go all in for the future or just go all in and like try to compete with Julio Jones. I don't like this, you know, half-assing, like we're going to like try to rebuild and we're going to try to, you know, compete at the same time. Cause you know, that's just going to end up being, it's going to be a 6-11 record or 7-10 record. Is this what's that going to be? And it's just going to be mediocre, and you're going to be mediocre for a long time if you keep doing this. So not a great start for newly GM Terry Fontenot and newly head coach Arthur Smith. So that's my thoughts. Dante, where are you at with this Julio Jones trade?
Yeah, I think you guys did a really good job. And I think, Tyler, your last point, I think, is the most important one. We talk about it on this podcast a lot. And, you know, teams need to commit, right? Like, you're either in or you're out. This, like, purgatory sense that doing it just doesn't work. Look at the Broncos right now. They are suffering from quarterback purgatory because, you know, now that, yeah, they're in on Aaron Rodgers, but, like, you know, that was not good team building. That was the Packers forgetting how to handle their star quarterback, and now you've lucked into maybe getting him, but we don't know what that's going to be like. And that's where Atlanta's trending right now. I think I'm a little bit higher on Matt Ryan than some of you guys, and that's fine, but that's not really the point. You can strip the names away here. You can take Justin Fields out of the equation. This is an Atlanta team before the draft, before they take Kyle Pitts, with an aging veteran quarterback and a top 5 pick, and they're not ready to compete. Like, that's just where they're at. Name a starting cornerback on the Atlanta Falcons.
Wow. AJ Terrell.
Oh yeah, good one.
It is AJ Terrell.
I was thinking of Desmond Trufant and Robert Alford.
Yeah, they're not there anymore, my guy.
I know that. They're on my.
That's exactly my point, right? Is, you know, name the starting edge rusher for the Atlanta Falcons right now.
Well, hold on, I know this one.
Do you? This is a tough one. I had to think of it for a second, and I might be wrong because this is off the top of my head.
I know he was there last year, but I know he's on our team now. Charles Harris, the former first-round pick.
Okay, he was there at one point. I don't think he's there anymore.
He's on the line.
The name that came to my mind was John Chomsky, who they took out of a small school in like the middle round. Dante Fowler.
They do have Dante Fowler.
Yeah. That's the big one.
I just cheated and looked up the depth.
Yeah, you cheated. That's the big one. So the first one that popped into my head was John Chomsky. So like that's where we're at here for the Falcons, right? Is like this is a team with glaring holes at huge position of needs. I know they just invested in AJ Terrell and they have Isaiah Oliver, but like, yeah, did you need Kyle Pitts even before, you know, like coming into this draft? You have an aging quarterback. You have massive holes on defense. You're not ready to compete. You just brought in a new head coach. You just brought in a new GM. This is a case of mistaken identity. They don't know who they are. Their self-evaluation process was incredibly poor. It was either poor or they're just blatantly incompetent. Those are the only two options that the Falcons have. No, because they either self-evaluated their roster and they said, okay, we're one piece away. We're another weapon away. You know what? We're just going to go out there and put up 45 a game and screw the defense, whatever. Fine. You do that. You take Kyle Pitts at four. I'm not sure I love that, but you know what? At least I can see your team building process, right? Like that's what we always talk about. And Saray said, like, we don't know anything, right? Right. But what I know is that you need a plan. You need a single vision. You need to, you know, pick what you're going to do and run with it. And these guys picked, or at least we thought they did, right? When they took Kyle Pitts is, you know, we're going to go out there. We're going to score 40 points a game. Screw the defense. We're going to live and die by AJ Terrell's man coverage, which not great, but okay, you know, and we're going to do that. All right, fine. But you have to funnel yourself into that lane if you're going to get in that lane instead of just driving back and forth between, well, maybe we're going to rebuild or we're going to trade Julio. Pick one. It's ridiculous. And I don't understand. You can take Justin Fields off of this. Like Tyler said, trade back. Minnesota wanted to come up. They were calling everyone and their mother to get up for Justin Fields. If you didn't like the quarterback, trade back, get more assets. You're not ready to go right now. And now you look at this team, right? It went from Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, and Kyle Pitts to Calvin Ridley, Kyle Pitts, and Russell Gage. I don't understand why, like, why now, right? And the big thing that I'm sure a lot of Falcons fans are probably screaming at their phone right now, oh, Dante, we didn't have any money. Buddy, you didn't have any money of your own fruition. You didn't restructure Grady Jarrett, and you restructured Matt Ryan's contract to put more money on the books for him later. Now you screwed yourself longer. Like, you did that. That was your front office that restructured Matt Ryan's contract. You have known that you've had no money 4 months. We knew this coming into the offseason that the Falcons were going to have to make moves, whether that was contract restructures or trading Matt Ryan or trading Grady Jarrett or trading Julio Jones. They knew this was coming. So you can't act like, oh, they were surprised. Like they didn't have enough money to sign their draft picks. We had to trade Julio Jones. Like, no, you're an idiot. You plan ahead. You make those changes. No, it's true. I'm sorry. I'm not letting them off the hook here. This is outrageously bad. You did not have enough money to sign your draft picks, and you traded the best player arguably in franchise history. That's where the Falcons are at right now, right? And you can, like, strip the names away from this, right? They passed on a very, very good quarterback prospect. I'm diving into the 2022 class right now. I can tell you we took last year's class for granted, maybe. Those dudes were accurate as hell. I'm watching some guys who could hit the broadside of a barn with a football earlier today. Like, it is just like, you know, I don't understand the thought process here. Either you're going to go all in, you're going to draft a player like Kyle Pitts, who's incredibly talented, and you're going to try and win that division. You know, maybe the Saints are, you know, Drew Brees retired. Maybe you can knock them off and, you know, Carolina's doing whatever they're doing. You know, maybe it's you and Tampa Bay, and you think you can get into the playoffs and sneak in. Fine. Okay, cool. I think Matt Ryan's a little bit better than people give him credit for, but you didn't do that. You traded Julio Jones because you had no money, but you knew you had no money. So that's not an excuse. That's the part that gets me is there's just no version of this that makes sense from Atlanta's perspective. This is blatant mismanagement. And I don't know if this is, you know, and you can blame Thomas Dimitrioff and the last administration for the way that they structured this team. I don't know if you ever tried to rebuild the Falcons on Madden. It's not easy. Every single contract is dead cap space and like a gajillion dollars. So like, I get it. Like Terry Fontenot did not inherit a cap friendly situation, but the way that they handled it, is really bad. And, you know, there is no version of this where I think this is going to look good for the Falcons, right? Like, who are you going to draft in the second round that's going to be better than Julio Jones? Probably no one. And again, like, I know that's not the point per se, but like, that's what it's going to come down to. That's what people are going to remember. They're going to remember that the Atlanta Falcons traded the best player in the franchise's history to Tennessee for a second round pick because they couldn't sign their draft picks. Whether that's the point or not, that's the reality of the situation that Atlanta's in. And that is just blatant mismanagement. You want to blame the last administration, you want to blame this administration, you want to blame both, knock yourself out. But this is just bad team building. That's where Atlanta's at.
And again, it's the timing of the move too. It's like you did it right before the NFL draft and right before NFL free agency. So like you just mentioned it, like you went from Ridley, Julio and Pitts now to Russell Gage, Pitts, and Ridley. And now you have no time to replace Julio Jones. Like, I'm not saying you're going to get a Julio Jones replacement. Like, you're not going to get someone to his skill level, but you don't have time now in this draft. You don't have time in free agency to go sign somebody to be a legitimate wide receiver too for you. So I think we're all in agreement. This is a very weird move by the Falcons by the timing of it, because I think that we were even in agreement that we didn't love the Kyle Pitts pick and maybe we would rather just blow it up, but at least they had an identity as we're going to try to score. Like Dante said, we'll score 45 points. We're going to try to win the games. We'll try to sneak into the wild card, maybe even win a division. Who knows, right? Now it's just like I said, they're doing like both. They're trying to rebuild and they're trying to compete at the same time. It's just really weird. So let's talk about the other perspective now. The Tennessee Titans, now they're getting Julio Jones. They're in this AFC South division. The Colts always have a pretty good team. We're a pretty good team last year. You know, they get their quarterback, Carson Wentz, who, you know, he's going to be pretty special this year for them. Okay.
Every episode.
Jaguars, Texans, forget about them. Not worried about them in the bottom of the division. But does this make the Tennessee Titans favorites to win the South? And more than that, because they've always been – they were a good team before Julio Jones – does this make potential Super Bowl favorites, a team that was just in the AFC Championship, not last year, but the year before? So I want to hear you guys' thoughts. I'm going to start off with Saray again.
Super Bowl contenders, I'm going to halt on that. You still got to play some defense, and there's not much of that going on in Tennessee. You bring over Bud Dupree in free agency, so you get some pass rush help. Looking at the roster right here, obviously you lose Corey Davis, so you will be adding, you know, Julio Jones, which is a huge upgrade. I do not want to take that away. That's one thing I don't want to do, is take that away from this entire situation. It's like, just, you know, just throw Julio under the bus, like in a sense that, oh, it's just Julio. But no, it's a huge upgrade from Corey Davis to Julio Jones. You know, Josh Reynolds, AJ Brown, Julio Jones, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, they have talent. We know about the offensive line there. Jeffrey Simmons is going to be fully healthy next year. Did you have Harold Landry? Like I said, you're going to be adding Bud Dupree. Their secondary is just bad, man. Janoris Jenkins is washed. Imani Hooker is what he is. Kevin Byers, you know, didn't have the greatest year last year, but I still think he is a top 10 safety in the league. And then it's Caleb Farley who's going to be forcing that action. And we don't even know if he's going to be healthy his rookie year, what's going on there. I know he had surgery this offseason. So, man, and I don't remember the name of the Titans' new OC, but, like, I don't know how much he's going to – I don't know how much he wants to change, or how much he should change, I should say, from what – Arthur Smith had going on when he was, you know, calling the shots in Tennessee, because Tannehill has been productive, like extremely productive, man. Like his numbers since he's been in Tennessee have skyrocketed, man. Like he's earned himself the money he's getting, and they've been a consistent playoff team, man. But like, I don't understand. How do I say this? I trading for Julio is great, and your offense is going to score points, right? Because teams are going to want to stack the box, right? You know, you have Derrick Henry, who's top three, top two running back in the league, wherever you want to put him. You have Julio on the outside, right? You have A.J. Brown, line him up anywhere. Teams are going to have to run man coverage, right? Which is going to leave Julio open and A.J. Brown open. They're going to create separation. That's what both of these guys do. But your defense, man, is Jordan Norris Jenkins a corner one? No, right? Is Caleb Farley like who we all like during the cycle, but like is – in injuries, we don't know what the hell we're getting from this kid, right? And I'm hoping the best for him, right? Because he's an extremely talented young man. But, like, at the same time, what do we expect from a rookie who is, you know, injuries during the offseason, injuries during his playing time at Virginia Tech? They may win the division. Looking at it, the Jaguars are going to stink. The Texans may have the first overall pick. The Colts are really, really good. But we know how me and Dante feel about Carson Wentz, right? So I have a little more faith in Ryan Tannehill than I do Carson Wentz. Tyler's giving me a thumbs down, but I'm just being honest. But, like, I mean, I can't repeat what he just did there. But I mean, listen, I don't know. This division's weird, man. You have this been a weird offseason for the AFC South. You got this Deshaun Watson stuff that happened all offseason. We don't know what the hell is happening there. The Jaguars take Trevor Lawrence, who we think is going to be this good quarterback for his career. You got Urban Meyer getting back into coaching, and then you have Julio getting traded to Tennessee. It's just been a weird thing for the AFC South, man. I do think Tennessee probably on paper offensively is better than Tennessee, but Tennessee probably – it's better than Indianapolis, I mean. But I don't know, man. The Colts' defense may be a little better. Ah, man. It's better. It's a lot better. Darius Leonard. It's a lot better. Yeah. DeForest Buckner. I don't think the corners on each team are that great. I mean, I like Kenny Moore. He's a very good slot. But like, I mean, other than that, I don't think either team has like this dominant corner one.
You don't need a corner when you've got DeForest Buckner.
Xavier Rhodes just like revived his career last year, and I don't know how much.
Because he's a front seven. Look at San Francisco. They don't have corners. Richard Sherman looked good for so many years.
Hey man, we're not going to disrespect Sherman. Like he's not a Hall of Famer here. Okay?
If Sherman
he was definitely washed. He was definitely washed.
He was definitely washed, and he looked so much better because of his front seven.
Yes, and it's the scheme fit. We're going to just leave and run some zone coverage, cover three, cover four, man, read the quarterback size, do what you do. But back to my point, I think Tennessee does win the division. This is probably going to come back to bite me because the defense is probably going to be horrible. I just don't have faith in Carson Wentz, man, so I was like, just leave it at that. Like, I don't know. It's a great move. It's Julio Jones. It's a Hall of Fame wide receiver. Like, there is no getting around what they just did. Like, you traded for a Hall of Famer. The whole quote about I want to play for a big arm quarterback kind of blows my mind because it's – Tannehill considered a big arm quarterback? No.
Dude, I think Tannehill's arm strength is a little bit slept on. He could sling the rock a little bit. I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes or any some other crazy tweets we've seen this week.
I agree. He does.
He's got a little bit of juice.
I don't want to sound like I'm low on Tannehill because I really like Tannehill, man. What he's done to Tennessee has been nothing short of spectacular. I think he was actually tied with Mahomes for yards per attempt last year. I think he was tied for third in the league. So that kind of speaks for itself, but
yeah.
I mean, does he have the strongest arm? No. But he can't sling it around the yard. So take that for what it's worth.
And also, Julio's going to get a lot of one-on-one looks as well because you mentioned stacked boxes with Derrick Henry, and A.J. Brown is still on that team as well, which is a legitimate wide receiver one. So, you know, I think it's going to be a really good fit for Julio Jones as well. Like, I know we've been talking about the team's perspective, but I want to talk about the Julio Jones perspective. I think he could kind of revive his career a little bit because, you know, last couple of years he's been, like, having the injury bug. And, you know, that's obviously a concern with Julio when you trade for him. He's a bit older. You know, you don't know how many good years left of him do you have. Maybe one, maybe two. You don't know. But overall, the value for Tennessee was really good for them, trading a second-round pick for, you know, 1-2 years of really good Julio. Maybe three. I don't know. I think you have a legitimate shot of being Super Bowl contender. I wouldn't bet my money on them, but I think you have a legitimate shot once playoff come around. I think you make the tournament, and you know, NFL playoffs are wild, man. We saw what they did a couple of years ago, and it's just going to be interesting. You know, now with Julio Jones, could that offense, you know, take the next step? I think it's very possible because, you know, Julio was always the main attraction on Atlanta, and it made other guys on the team step up, guys like Kelvin Ridley. So, you know, with Tennessee already having an elite running game with Derrick Henry and an elite other receiver with AJ Brown. You know, I think now like it's kind of pick your poison with Tennessee when you're game planning against him as a defensive coordinator. It's like, do we game plan for Derrick Henry? Do we game plan for AJ Brown? Do we game plan for Julio Jones? It's like they have so many weapons and legitimate weapons. It's kind of scary for defensive coordinators. And, you know, this could be an offense that scores a lot of points. And you mentioned it. I mean, the big arm quarterback, Tannehill is not the biggest arm quarterback, but it is kind of slept on, like you mentioned. So I think one-on-one looks, I think he could feed Julio Jones, who's a big target. It's hard to miss him. AJ Brown, also a big target as well. So, I mean, I think the Tennessee offense definitely took an upgrade because they went from AJ Brown and Corey Davis. And Corey Davis is a fine receiver, but I mean, when you compare Julio Jones to Corey Davis, it's night and day. So, I like this move a lot for Tennessee and for what they traded as well. A next year second round pick. I mean, you got 2-3 years of Julio Jones. So, you know, it's time to maximize on that. And it might not be this year, but if it's not this year, you got next year. So I like that Tennessee's kind of going all in. We just talked about Atlanta, like not going all in or going all out. Tennessee's going all in and you got to respect it. And they didn't trade a first round pick while doing it. So I like the deal on Tennessee's end a lot. And I'm excited to see what Julio could do now, and, you know, not being the main focus on the offensive line, because Derrick Henry and AJ Brown still exist. So I'm excited to see what ends up happening in Julio's, you know, career in a new team and, you know, new offense. So it's going to be really exciting. So what's your thoughts on this, Dante, for Julio?
Before you go, Dante, didn't they swap a fourth and a sixth also?
Yeah.
There's a late day three swap. Yeah, as well. Yeah, I mean, I have to be careful because I want to get really, really excited about the Titans. I'm a big Ryan Tannehill guy. That is my bias to this conversation. Like, Tyler loves Carson Wentz. I love Ryan Tannehill. He just has as a Dolphins fan, he just has a place in my heart. It didn't work out in Miami, but my God, did that man try and play his heart out for like 8 years. So I love Ryan Tannehill, and I really want to like the Titans. I love this trade for them. You know, I saw some people push back on it. I mean, I don't know how you possibly could. I mean, you got a Hall of Fame receiver for a second round pick. Like, that's, you know, it's not like Julio's like, you know, at 38. I mean, he's like 32. Like, he's still got a couple years left. Like, you're going to get good run out of him still. He's still got plenty of tread on the tires, I think. So I really like this trade for Tennessee. The reason that I want to have caution is because the Titans were an incredibly lucky football team last year. Looking at some numbers, the Titans, they were second in turnover margin, sixth in injury luck, and win 7-2 on one score games. And they had the seventh easiest schedule in the NFL per DVOA. Those are numbers that might not be on their side this year. I know those are like, you know, random things to bring up in this conversation. But when you look at teams that typically regress year to year are teams that perform very, very well in, you know, one score games, because those typically can go, you know, either way, right? How are you going to go 7-2 in one score games every time? I don't know. That's a really, really good number. That's going to be tough to say. So I think the Titans definitely upgraded. But, I echo some concern here, because this is, again, a weird division. If Deshaun Watson plays this year for Houston, I don't think they're going to be good, but they're going to be competitive. You're not going to be able to steamroll them if Deshaun Watson is on the field. If he comes back, I think, you know, Jacksonville's offseason has been, let's go with eventful at the moment. Maybe we can dedicate an episode to that, because there's a lot to get into about what Jacksonville's doing. I'm really glad we did not do a Tebow episode, by the way. I'm glad we did not dive into that at all. But Jacksonville, I think they're better than last year at the very least. And then, you know, no matter what I think of Carson Wentz, the Colts are going to be a good football team. They're going to compete. They're going to win games. That's a good roster with a good head coach. You know, if Carson Wentz is like, you know, middling at least, they're going to compete for that division titles. I this division is very, very interesting. And I want to believe in the Titans. I really like the Titans. I'm going to root for the Titans, quite frankly. They're going to be like my second favorite team this year. I think they're a ton of fun. I think the philosophy, you know, balancing, right? Because Derrick Henry, you know, I mean, there's a part of me that's like, they should just go out there and throw the ball 55 times to Julio Jones and AJ Brown. And, you know, like, it just do that, you know, like, I feel like that's a good strategy. But, you know, they're going to pound the rock with Derrick Henry. How does the new offensive coordinator, you know, kind of take the reins from Arthur Smith? What does that offense look like? And then on Ryan Tannehill's end, he's been great for two straight years. You know, does he regress a little bit, or does he continue to kind of push for, you know, I don't know. I think he's pushing maybe a top 10 quarterback in the NFL given his last 2 years. I don't think he's quite there yet, but I think, you know, he's probably in the 12 to 15 range. I mean, if he has another, you know, stellar season, I really think he could push into the top 10, depending on, you know, if some other guys fall out, a couple guys retire. So, you know, I don't think he's there, but I think he's pushing for that. So that's another good storyline. I really like this for Tennessee. I really do. I don't want to make it sound like I'm down on the Titans. Like Saray, I'm going to pick them to win that division just because I really, really like that team. I think Vrabel can coach that defense up. You know, he's going to get that opportunity in the offseason. They've got some young guys I really like. We're going to get year two of Christian Fulton as well at corner. You know, maybe he can develop. I think I had a first round grade on him 2 years ago, so I think there's a lot of potential there. You know, if Caleb Farley's healthy, I mean, he was a top 10 player for me in this class, I want to say. I really liked him. If those guys can, you know, perform somewhat well, you have veterans like Janoris Jenkins. You still have Jeffrey Simmons up front. You add Bud Dupree. You know, maybe Rashad Evans is a bounce back year, a linebacker. I don't know. Maybe you can piece enough together this defense and you add Julio Jones to that offense. Titans might be scary. So I do believe in them, but they also got very, very lucky last year. And it is very, very difficult to duplicate those results. On the flip side of that, I said that last year, and I said the Titans were going to regress, and they didn't. So this year I'm banking on the other side of the coin. I got to hedge my bets a little bit, but I really like this for the Titans. I really like this for Julio Jones as well. Tyler made a lot of really good points. It's a good fit for him. He's going to have an opportunity to be the alpha dog on that team and have someone next to him to pull coverage that way. You know, if they start to double Julio, feed AJ Brown. That worked out last year just fine. And even as a rookie, had a good year. So I really like this for Tennessee. I really like this for Julio Jones. The only loser in this deal is Atlanta, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Quick question for you guys. Quick game. No, I'm just going to yell off names, and you just tell me win or loss. This Tennessee Titans game.
Oh, okay.
Right, we're doing this.
Yeah, we're doing the game.
Okay. At home, week one against Arizona.
Win.
All right. At Seattle, week two.
Win.
Colts, week three.
Loss.
All right, fine.
At the Jets, week four.
Win.
Jags, week five.
Win.
At home against Buffalo.
Loss.
At home against the Chiefs.
Loss. That's a toss up. But
a toss up with that defense, man. I don't know. Jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to go 17-0. If we're doing this for the Chiefs, I'd say win for every game. But like, that's just not how the NFL works.
Okay. All right. At home against the Colts, or excuse me, on the road against the Colts.
They'll split.
Yeah, you can flip them. Yeah.
Week nine and on the road against the Rams. That's a good game, actually.
Stafford.
Give me the Titans.
Yeah, okay.
Is that national TV? Wait, is that a national TV game?
That's Sunday night game, yeah.
Ooh, Stafford,
that's a good one. That's Dante. A good one.
That's me and Dante's ex-quarterbacks going at it.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, week 10 at home against New Orleans.
I'm going to say loss because I gave them the Rams loss. So.
Okay.
Or the Rams win.
At home against Houston, nobody cares about the Texans. We'll move on. On the road against the Patriots, week 12.
I love how Dante goes, if Deshaun Watson's there, this could be a competitive game. And I see him, and then disarray, just discarded that completely. Goes,
I mean,
lost.
I think the Titans will beat him. I'm just saying, like, if Deshaun Watson is like basically Russell Wilson, like, if he's there, they can win.
I don't think they will, but they could. No, you never.
All right, so on the road, week 12 against New England.
Win.
Okay.
Mac Jones is going to be starting at that point. That's a win. Chalk it up.
Oh, is that a hot take? By week 12?
Number 50, Mac Jones?
He already had one of the worst aesthetics in the class. And then they gave him number 50.
He looks
like the most stereotypical white boy quarterback of all time. And they gave this man the number 50? Are you kidding?
I want to be clear. Bill Belichick's been doing this for years.
He does this for every year.
So it's not like it's like just this is Mac Jones' number. No, because Jared Stidham, I remember, was wearing 58 in his rookie season.
He deserved 58 though. They should have kept that.
That's just like the Patriots make, I think, every rookies were in the 50s and 60s. So that's some context behind it. Mac Jones, 90% chance will not be wearing number 50.
He's
not wearing number 50.
Yeah.
All right. So we got a bye week, week 13, week 14 against the Jags. We're going to give Tennessee that game. Week 15 at Pittsburgh.
I like their chances too.
Okay. Yeah. Week 16 against San Francisco. Is Trey Lance playing by then?
How many wins are we at right now, by the way?
I have no idea, but this is also a Sunday night game, I think, or a Thursday night game. It's Thursday night, actually. Yeah.
I'll take the 49ers. I feel like we haven't picked enough losses.
Yeah, I know. I feel like we're like at four, like 13 wins right now.
Yeah.
Okay, and Miami at home against Miami?
That's a tough one, too. That's going to be a dogfight.
Give me the Dolphins, man. I'm going to give me the Dolphins.
All right, so they're playing
– I don't want to say it.
So. Okay, so they're playing the NFC West, which is arguably the toughest division in football.
Yes.
And who was the AFC division that they're playing?
AFC East.
Yeah, okay. So those are two tough divisions.
And well, that's what I was saying. Last year their schedule was like, you know, one of the easiest schedules per DVOA. Yeah,
they played the NFC North last year. I know that. And the NFC North last year was just meh. Not even really. So, I mean, this year, NFC West, I think, is the best division of football. And the AFC East is like the third or fourth best division of football. I think the third best division of football.
Who's second? Is it
the North, AFC North? Right,
and third would be the AFC West?
Yeah. Then I'll go the East.
NFC East, baby.
No, not that. So, I mean, that is a tough schedule. If I had to predict wins, I would say they're around the 10, 11, maybe 12-ish.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, give me – yeah, I'll go 12 or 13. I think they can push it. I think that's like the high, like the bar, you know, you gotta, I think they should be able to, I don't know. That seems a little too bold, but.
And then I feel like the floor would be like 9 games, which I think is still good enough for a wild card spot at the very least.
Yeah. Well, that'd be 9-8 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's disgusting. Weird. Yeah. No, I don't like that.
That'd be like an injury happening, like a significant injury happening, I feel like.
Yeah.
So. Well,
okay. We all like the Titans, it seems like, at least a little bit. You go like Colts. The Colts more.
Go Colts.
No, you like the Colts more.
Likes Carson Wentz, but whatever. It's Carson Wentz.
You think both teams are going to be in the playoffs, though? Probably.
I do. I don't know who's going to win the division. I think it'll be a dogfight for the division, but I do think both teams will be in the playoffs.
Who has the better year, Ryan Tannehill or Carson Wentz? End the show on that right there.
I think Ryan Tannehill has a better season, but I think the Colts could be the better team all around.
They're better built on paper right now. I can agree with that.
So, I don't know. I think Carson Wentz will be good enough. So, that's good enough for me.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, with that being said, I hope you guys all enjoy. Usually there's a lot more debating and a lot more disagreement, but, I mean, there's just no disagreement. Like, you have to be incompetent to like the Falcons and not like Tennessee side. Like, sometimes we'll, like, push it. We couldn't push it for this episode. I'm sorry. I was going to, like, think about it. But there's just not enough valid reasons. Like, if I was on the other side debating for the Falcons right now, I would just be contradicting everything I was just saying. And I would just be like, yeah, you're right. You're right. Like, I wouldn't have – it wouldn't be my actual opinion. So, like, I'm sorry if you guys enjoy both sides. If you're an Atlanta fan, I'm sorry. It's a stupid trade for you guys, and I'm going to leave it at that. But Atlanta fans, if you can always leave a 5-star review on our podcast, it's always much appreciated. Hope you guys all enjoyed this episode. We're out, guys. Peace.